Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
So today we'll read from Anchalila. This chapter is called The Lord's Dealings with Jagadananda Pandit. So this chapter, it not only deals with Lord Chaitanya's relationship with Jagadananda Pandit, but there are also some other pastimes before that. O devotees, may the transcendental life and characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be always heard, chanted, and meditated upon with great happiness. The mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always morose because of continuously manifested feeling of separation from Krishna. The Lord would cry, "Oh, my Lord Krishna, my life and soul." O son of Maharaj Nanda, where shall I go? Where shall I attain you? O Supreme Personality who plays with your flute in your mouth. This was the situation day and night. Unable to find peace of mind, he passed his nights with great difficulty in the company of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy. Meanwhile, all the devotees journeyed from their homes in Bengal to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Nityananda was preaching in Bengal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered him not to come to Puri. That year, however, he went with the rest of the party to see the Lord. Srivas Thakur also came with his wife and his brothers. The wife of Sivananda Sen also came along with their three sons. Raghava Pandit joined them carrying his famous bags of food. His sister Damayanti used to prepare many kinds of dry foodstuffs for Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya used to take a little bit along with his prasad. Actually, all the devotees would bring offerings for the Lord, and the servant Govinda would accept them. And then Govinda would ask the Lord, "What shall I do with them?" And the Lord would say, "Just put them in storage."
Затем он спрашивал Господа, что с ними делать, и Господь говорил, сложи их там, где-то вместе.
So in this way then, the you know different offerings of food were building up more and more and more. And Govinda asked the Lord, rather devotees would ask Govinda, has the Lord tasted the prasadam that I brought? And Govinda would actually lie to them. He would sometimes say, yes, the Lord has tasted it, very nice. But this was disturbing Govinda. And he, you know, one day he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how long can I go on, you know, lying to the devotees? Lord Chaitanya said, why are you lamenting? Bring the prasadam here. Then in one sitting he had enough for 100 men. So everything was finished except these bags of food from Damayanti and Raghav Pandit. Then every day he would take some of that prasadam along with the prasadam of Lord Jagannath. So many devotees came together, Vasudev, Datta, Murari Gupta, Vijayanidhi, all to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First they saw Sachimata and took her permission. Then in great happiness they started for Jagannath Puri, congregationally chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. So Shivananda Sen was in charge of managing the party. At different places along the way, he had to pay some tax or some tolls. With great happiness, he guided all the devotees along the way. And he used to arrange the staying places for everybody also. One day, when the party was being checked by a toll collector, the devotees were allowed to pass, but Shivananda had to stay behind alone to pay the taxes. Must be something like these guy posts along the road, huh? You have to stop, you have to satisfy them somehow.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. So the party went on into a village and waited underneath a tree. But, you know, no one could arrange for their living quarters except Shivananda, so they had to wait. So meanwhile, Lord Nityananda, he became very hungry. He had no prasadam, he had no place to stay. So he became upset. And he began to call Shivananda by bad names. Shivananda Sen has not arranged for my residence, he complained. And I am so hungry, I could die. Because he has not come, I curse his three sons to die. So hearing this curse, Shivananda's wife began to cry. Just then Shivananda returned from the toll gate. So crying, his wife informed him, Lord Nityananda has cursed our sons to die. Because his quarters have not been provided. Shivananda replied, "You crazy woman. Why are you needlessly crying? Let my three sons die for all the inconvenience we have caused Lord Nityananda." So then Shivananda went to Nityananda, and Nityananda stood up and kicked him. So he, being very pleased at being kicked, Shivananda quickly arranged for a milkman's house to be the Lord's residence. And Shivananda touched the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda and led him to his residence. Then he spoke as follows. "Today you have accepted me as your servant and have properly punished me for my offense. My Lord, your chastising me is your causeless mercy. Who within the three worlds can understand your real character? The dust of your lotus feet is not attained even by Lord Brahma. Yet your lotus feet have touched my wretched body. Today my birth, my family, and all my activities have become successful. Today I have achieved the fulfillment of religious principles, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and ultimately devotional service to Lord Krishna. When Lord Nityananda heard this, he was very happy. He rose and embraced Shivananda Sen in great love. So being pleased by Lord Nityananda's behavior, Shivananda began to arrange a residential quarters for all the Vaishnavas. One of Nityananda Prabhu's characteristics is his contradictory nature. When he becomes angry and kicks someone, it is actually for his benefit. So, of course, these sons didn't die. So it appears that, you know, Lord Nityananda, you know, he was not really intending that they die. He just wanted to chastise Shivananda. But the Lord's devotees very much like to get chastised by the Lord. There's also an incident with Advaita Acharya and Lord Chaitanya. Advaita Acharya was very much respected by Lord Chaitanya because he was a very senior person. He was much older than Lord Chaitanya. He would offer his obeisances to him and show him all respect. So Advaita Acharya felt very embarrassed by this. He wanted that Lord Chaitanya should actually treat him as an inferior person. He wanted to be chastised by the Lord. So he thought of a trick to make Lord Chaitanya angry. So he began to preach Mayavadi philosophy. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he became very angry. Immediately he ran to the house of Advaita and began hitting him, slapping him and pushing him and hitting him. And his wife said, "Stop, please stop, he's an old man." But Lord Chaitanya didn't care, he went on hitting him. And Advaita was in great ecstasy. That, you know, finally, you know, the Lord is chastising me. What great mercy. And when Lord Chaitanya realized this, then he felt somewhat embarrassed. So anyhow, we see here also Shivananda, he even though his wife wasn't too happy, he was very happy. So mentioned here also that Shivananda's nephew Sri Kanta, he felt offended. And he commented on this matter when Shivananda was absent. "My uncle is known as one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord Nityananda asserts his superiority by kicking him." So after this, Sri Kanta, who was still just a young person, left the group of devotees and traveled alone to the residence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To the residence of Lord Chaitanya. And when Sri Kanta was offering obeisances to the Lord, he still had his, you know, shirt and his outer coat on. So Govinda told him, "Sri Kanta, you should take, you know, these things, take off these outer garments." The Prabhupada comments in the purport that when you go in the deity room, you don't wear your, you know, outer garments. You know, you can't go in with your coat on. So same way with when approaching Lord Chaitanya. But when Lord Chaitanya heard Govinda warning him, warning Sri Kanta, he told him, "Don't bother him." Lord Chaitanya said, "Let Sri Kanta do what he likes because he's come here in a distressed state of mind." So when Sri Kanta heard the Lord say he is distressed, he could understand that the Lord is omniscient. The Lord knows everything. So therefore he didn't mention the incident about Lord Nityananda kicking his uncle. In any case, Lord Chaitanya could understand it. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then all the devotees came to arrived at Puri, and the Lord received them all. He arranged for residential quarters for them all, and also for prasadam from Lord Jagannath. Actually, once when the devotees came to Puri, Prataprudra Maharaj was watching from the roof of his palace.
Однажды,
And Gopinath Acharya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya were with him, and they were pointing out to him all the devotees and telling what their names were. And Lord Chaitanya had arranged for prasad, and the king saw that the devotees just immediately took some prasadam without going to take bath or anything. As soon as prasad came, they began to respect it. You know, so he was asking, how is that, you know, before they even, you know, they've been traveling, they haven't even gone to their rooms, they haven't even taken a bath, how come they're just, you know, eating like that? So Sarvabhauma was explaining, prasad is non-different from Krishna. As soon as it comes, you know, one should respect. There's also, you know, described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that once Lord Chaitanya came to Sarvabhauma's house when he was still sleeping. And brought prasadam for him. So as soon as Sarvabhauma woke up, he sat up in his bed without even washing his mouth. You know, he respected the prasadam. So in this way, Mahaprasadam should always be honored. See, even just a little, but should be honored. That's why we always, when we say, when we don't say to eat prasad, we say to respect prasadam, to honor prasadam. So then Shivananda introduced his three sons to Lord Chaitanya. And because they were Shivananda's sons, the Lord showed the boys great mercy. Then the Lord asked the youngest son's name. And Shivananda said his name was Paramananda Das. So long before, actually, before the boy was born, Shivananda had visited Lord Chaitanya. At the time, his wife was pregnant, and the Lord told him, when this son is born, give him the name Puridas. So the Lord, the child was named Paramananda, and in accordance with the Lord's order, and the Lord jokingly called him Puridas. It's a kind of abbreviation also, you know, just like you have, what is it like, in this country, you'll have Gennady, Zhenya, right? You have Sergei, Seryozha, like that. Pavel, Pasha, this sort of thing. Huh? So Paramananda, they call short Puri. Or Madhavananda, Madai. Ramananda, Ramai. Or Jagadananda, Jagai. Like so like that. So when Shivananda introduced the child to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord put his toe in the mouth of the child. So this child, therefore, got a very special mercy, you know, when he was still a baby. No one can cross over the ocean if Shivananda sends good fortune. For the Lord considered Shivananda's whole family his own. The Lord ate lunch in the company of all the devotees, and then he gave an order to Govinda. As long as Shivananda Sen's wife and children stay in Puri, he said, they must be given the remnants of my food. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya was very kind to them. He also understood the wife or the children, other family members might be upset, you know, about what happened. You know, so he was showing them a special mercy. But anyway, you know, he would show great, always show great affection to his devotees and their families. Also, the family of Bhavananda Rai was very dear to Lord Chaitanya. He had five sons, including Ramananda Rai. So Lord Chaitanya said that Bhavananda Rai is like Maharaj Pandu. And his five sons are like the five Pandavas. One time, however, one of the sons, Gopinath Patanaika, he was a tax collector, but he didn't give all the tax to the government. So the king was trying to get the money from him. So Gopinath Patanaika said, oh, well, I don't have the money, I've spent it, but I've got some very nice horses, so you please take these horses and give, you know, proper price for them. So the king sent a prince, he sent one prince to assess the value of the horses. So this prince gave a very low value for the horses. So Gopinath was very angry. And this prince, he had some sort of, you know, deformity or idiosyncrasy. He would always turn up his head like this, look at the sky. So Gopinath said, at least my horses don't, you know, turn their heads and look at the sky. So this made the prince very angry. So he decided that Gopinath should be killed. So there was a special, you know, means of killing people in those days. This was called a changa. This was a high platform with a trapdoor. And underneath there were very sharp swords, many sharp swords. So the person would be put up on this platform, and then they would pull the trapdoor open, and he would fall down and he on top of these sharp swords, and he would die. Probably quite high. Huh? So he was, you know, put up on this changa, this platform. So some, devotees, they came running to Lord Chaitanya. You know, Gopinath has been put on the, raised up on the changa. Please save him, please save him. And Lord Chaitanya asked, why is that? So he didn't, you know, he didn't pay all the taxes to the government that he collected. So therefore, you know, the princess put him up there. Lord Chaitanya said, well, what can I do? I mean, he should pay the taxes. You know, he's entitled to a certain amount of profit from the taxes. He's entitled to spend that. But if he takes extra, if he takes the government's money, then the king has to somehow recover it. So don't disturb me with these things. But then again, some other devotees came, please, please, save Gopinath. But Lord Chaitanya said, you know, if you keep bothering me like this, I'll leave here, I'll go to Alalnath, which is some distance, 16 miles away. So the devotees were a great anxiety. But then one of the devotees went to see the king. Oh, actually, also Lord Chaitanya said, if you want to save him, you have to pray to Lord Jagannath. So then one devotee went to see the king. And then the king said, I did not know about this. I just want to recover the tax. I don't want him to be killed. And he said, I know that the family members of Gopinath, of Bhavananda Roy, are very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, he said, I'll forgive him. And I'll also double his salary. And then he also presented a very valuable chadar to Gopinath. So he said, don't tell Lord Chaitanya about this. But somehow someone told Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya was not so happy, but he said, anyway, you know, this such is a mercy of Lord Jagannath. You see, he was, you know, squandering the government's money, and he was about to be killed, but by the mercy of the Lord, his salary was doubled, he was excused the debt, and he was given a very valuable wrapper. So, there was a resident of Nadia named Parameshwara, who was a confectioner. So when the Lord was a boy, he would visit Parameshwara's house again and again. And this confectioner would give the Lord milk and sweets, and the Lord would eat them. He had been very affectionate to the Lord since childhood. So that year he also came to see the Lord at Puri. So when he offered obeisances to the Lord, he said, I am the same Parameshwar. So seeing him, the Lord asked him questions with great affection. So Lord Chaitanya said, Parameshwara, may you be blessed. It is very good that you have come here. Parameshwara then informed him, Mukundara Mata has also come. This was his wife. Hearing the name of Mukundara Mata, Lord Chaitanya hesitated. But because of affection for Parameshwara, he did not say anything. Here in the purport, Prabhupada said, you know, a sannyasi is restricted even from hearing a woman's name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conducted himself very strictly in this vow. This was a very, you know, rigid standard of sannyas. Today we don't attempt to follow to this degree. But anyhow, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had such rigid standards. So actually, you know, Parameshwari shouldn't have informed the Lord like that his wife had come. So that's why Lord Chaitanya hesitated for a moment. But this devotee was in a very intimate relationship with the Lord, so therefore, you know, he spoke very freely. An intimate relationship sometimes makes a person overstep formal etiquette. Thus, Parameshwar actually pleased the Lord in his heart by his simple and affectionate behavior. All the devotees engaged in the cleaning of the Gundicha temple and danced in front of Rathyatra Chariot as they had done in the past. For 4 consecutive months, the devotees observed all the festivals. So that when they didn't just come, like, you know, 1 week to Divnomorsk, but they would go to Puri and they'd stay for 4 months. They'd see Rathyatra, Julan Yatra, Baladev's appearance. They'd see Janmastami, Radhastami, so many different festivals. I guess most people, you know, they had some farmland and they would get some crops, but during these 4 months of the rainy season you couldn't do agriculture, so they would just, you know, go for holiday, chant Hare Krishna and associate with the Lord. Oh, they were, you know, Brahmins, and people would give them donations, and that way they would live. So that the wives such as Malini would, while the devotees were staying in Puri, their wives such as Malini would cook for the Lord and he would be invited to different homes. While the devotees were living in Puri for those 4 months, then, you know, they would arrange, they would invite the Lord to their homes, their wives would cook, and the Lord would visit different homes. During the day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in various activities with his devotees, but at night he felt great separation from Krishna and used to cry. After the rainy season was finished, then the Lord would tell him to go back to Bengal to their homes. Out of affection for them, he would speak to them very sweetly. All of you must come to see me every year. To come here and then return must give you great trouble. Because they had to walk all the way. Eh? Some 500-600 kilometers. I would like to forbid you to do this. But I enjoy your company so much that my desire for your association only increases. I ordered Nityananda Prabhu not to leave Bengal, but he has transgressed my order and come to see me. What can I say? Out of his causeless mercy upon me, Advaita Acharya has also come here. I am indebted to him for his affectionate behavior. This debt is impossible for me to liquidate. All my devotees come here just to see me, leaving their homes and families. They travel by very difficult paths to come here in great haste. There is no fatigue or trouble for me. For I stay here in Puri and I do not move at all. This is the favor of all of you. I am a mendicant and I have no money. How can I clear my debt for the favor you have shown me? I have only this body and therefore I surrender it unto you. Now, if you wish, you may sell it anywhere you like. It is your property. When all the devotees heard these sweet words of Lord Chaitanya, their hearts melted. And they began to shed incessant tears. Catching hold of his devotees, the Lord embraced them all and began to cry and cry. Unable to leave, everyone remained there. And thus 5 or 7 more days passed. Advaita and Nityananda said to the Lord, "The entire world is obligated to you for your transcendental qualities. Yet you bind your devotees again with your sweet words. Under these circumstances, who can go anywhere? Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calmed them all and bade them all farewell. And the Lord told Nityananda, "You should not come here again and again. You will have my association in Bengal." Actually, it is said that wherever Lord Nityananda was dancing, Lord Chaitanya would automatically appear there. This is called Avir Bhav manifestation. Lord Chaitanya would appear regularly in various places. Especially in 4 places where Nityananda Prabhu danced. In the home of Sachimata, whenever she would, cook for him.